It seemed there was no end at all to the lies a person could tell when she got started.
"You know, I've been meaning to say I'm sorry," Al said.
His dark eyes were kind.
"For whatever happened to your baby's father."
Caroline had half forgotten that she'd made up a husband, so she was surprised to hear in his voice that Al didn't believe she'd ever had one. He thought she was an unwed mother, she marveled. They ate without speaking much, passing remarks now and then about the weather and the traffic and Al's next destination, which was Nashville, Tennessee.
"I've never been to Nashville," Caroline said.
"No? Well, hop aboard. You and your daughter, too," Al said.
It was a joke, but within the joke was an offer. An offer not to her, not really, but rather to an unwed mother down on her luck. Still, for a moment, Caroline imagined walking out the door with her boxes and her blankets and never looking back.
"Maybe next time," she said, reaching for the coffee. "I've got some things to settle here."
Al nodded.
"Gotcha," he said. "I know how that goes."
"But thanks," she said. "I appreciate the thought."
"My infinite pleasure,"
he said seriously, and then he stood up to go. Caroline watched from the window as he went to his truck, climbing up the steps into the cab and turning once to wave from the open doorway. She waved back, happy to see his smile, so ready and so easy, surprised by the tug in her heart. She had an impulse to run after him, remembering the narrow bed in the back of the cab where he sometimes slept and the way he'd touched Phoebe's forehead so gently. Surely a man who lived such a solitary life could keep her secrets, contain her dreams and fears. But his engine caught, and smoke billowed up from the silver pipe on his cab, and then he was pulling carefully out of the parking lot and onto the quiet street and away. For the next 24 hours, Caroline slept and woke on Phoebe's schedule, staying up just long enough to eat. It was strange. She had always been particular about meals, fearing undisciplined snacking as a sign of eccentricity and self-absorbed solitude. But now she ate at odd hours. Cold cereal straight from the box, ice cream spooned from the carton while standing at her kitchen counter. It was as if she had entered some twilight zone of her own, some state halfway between sleep and waking, where she would not have to consider too fully the consequences of her decisions or the fate of the baby sleeping in her dresser drawer, or her own. On Monday morning, she got up in time to call in sick to work. Ruby Centers, the receptionist, answered the phone.
"Are you all right, honey?"
she asked.
"You sound awful."
"It's a flu, I think," Caroline said. "I'll probably be out a few days."
"Anything happening there?"
she asked, trying to make her voice casual.
"Dr. Henry's wife have the baby?" "Well, I sure don't know," Ruby said.
Caroline imagined her thoughtful frown, her desk swept clear and ready for the day, a little vase of plastic flowers on the corner.